This is God's word found in Revelation 14, verse 13. Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I want to describe what happens to a child of God when they die. And shortly put, this is what happens to God's child when he dies. He is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to do that starting from this verse. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write. So here is a truth that's being revealed from heaven to earth to the Apostle John, who's instructed to write it. And we have what he wrote. And here's what he wrote. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. How do you get to be in the Lord, by the way? I pose that question a lot. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You get to be in the Lord by God choosing you in the Lord Jesus Christ before creation ever started. That's how you get to be there. It's a work of God. It's by grace. It never fails. It's 100% successful. If he chose you in Jesus Christ, you are in Jesus Christ and will ever be in Jesus Christ. But you know, the ministry of the gospel and the work of the church is that those who are in Jesus Christ by God's grace would also be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to dwell together in fellowship and in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they live that life that reflects his glory and shows love and help to other people. So the work of God is perfect. He chose a people in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus redeemed them on the cross. The Holy Spirit quickens them. His work is perfect. It never fails. He never loses one. We lose quite a few, but we still have a work. And the work of the church and the preaching of the gospel is that those who are vitally by grace in Christ Jesus would also be in his church and in his way, experiencing that fellowship with the Lord. And Brother Mike has just described something where Satan is loose for a little season, and rightly said, we don't know exactly when it is. Some signs point that it might come soon, might not, might be a great revival. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There's a great revival of belief in Jesus Christ, and people submitted themselves to his will and his word, and we had a new resurgence of freedom. Wouldn't that be great? But it might not be so. It might be so that Satan is loosed or is about to be loosed for a little season. And the scripture in Revelation 20 is clear. When he does, he'll go forth with great power and gather the nations and compass or surround the camp of the saints. But here's why I mention that. If I'm alive at that time and Satan is loosed for a little season and he comes to surround the camp of the saints, I hope I'm in the group surrounded by the enemy rather than the group of enemies surrounding the saints. Okay? That's something that I can pay attention to. Make sure that I'm trying to repent and be humble so that when the camp of saints is surrounded, I'm within it. I'm not talking about who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. I'm talking about who's doing what when the end comes. And I would love to be found serving the Lord when that time comes. Now, if I'm not alive at that time, and I'm dying and going, hopefully, to the Lord, I hope I'm found serving him then, too. So the solution to all this, no matter what period of history we occupy, is to be humble, faithful, and bold in serving the Lord. That solves the problem, regardless of what branch of history or period of history we're living in. So what John was instructed to write was, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." When it comes time to lay down this body, what happens is rest. And I'm not talking about oblivion, forgetfulness, lack of consciousness. I'm talking about a deep peace and happiness and contentment and life and colors you've never seen before and music you've never heard before and fellowship you've never felt before. I'm talking about God's rest. They rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now, I firmly believe that God's children are heirs and joint heirs in Jesus Christ. So everything that's good that belongs to Him, you've got access to it. So there's no big I's and little me's, little U's in heaven. There's no great and grand saints and little pitiful saints. I believe that the thief on the cross and the Apostle Peter are not walking around so the thief just barely made it and he's driving a little Yugo and the Apostle Peter's in a Cadillac. I don't believe that. I believe they're equal brothers in Jesus Christ by God's grace. Brother J.R. Rakes, whom I miss and who loved me and whom I loved, he came to see that truth and a friend of his didn't. He said, "Brother J.R., he says, you know, when we get to heaven, people that have done a lot of good, won a lot of souls, they're going to have lots of stars in their crowns. And the people that just barely made it, they just maybe have one star in their crown." Brother J.R. said, because they were dear friends, they loved each other. He said, "Well, brother, you're going to get up there and you're going to have a lot of stars in your crown. And I'm just going to have one or two. You know, how are we going to be able to have a real fellowship at that point?" And the brother that they thought might have a lot of stars in his crown broke into tears. And he said, "Well, Brother J.R., I just give you some of mine." And he said, "Yeah, but I would have to turn around. Here's this sister. She's good, but she's never been to church or anything. I'd have to give some of those that you gave me to her. And by, in a real heaven of love, we'd be sharing those stars so much, we'd end up with the same amount." Amen, Brother J.R. I think he knows the reality of that now. You're heirs and joint heirs in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does this mean here? "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Your works don't follow you into heaven. Your good works in serving God follow you to help others here. How kind Brother Edward Cagle was to me during the years he lived on earth. Some of the things he did for me follow him here. He conducted mine and Sandy's wedding. Good work. Many times people do things and their good works follow them here. There are many of you that have done works that I know after you're gone will follow you here. They benefit other people here. The good works follow them. So when a child of God dies, his spirit goes immediately into the presence of God. Abraham died and was gathered unto his people, and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him. Isaac yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people, and his sons, Jacob and Esau, buried him. Jacob died and gathered his feet up into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. And about 2 months later, his sons finally got around to burying him because he died in Egypt and wanted to be buried in Canaan. You see, gathered unto your people doesn't mean buried in the family cemetery. Gathered unto your people means your spirit goes home to God and your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be gathered unto your people. Your soul doesn't go to sleep waiting for the resurrection day. You immediately go into the presence of God, and that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said to that thief on the cross, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So your spirit goes to be with God. And your spirit in the presence of God is with God. Your spirit, having no sin, is now like the Lord Jesus Christ. And your spirit is engaged in this joyful, triumphant worshiping of Jesus Christ. But one day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming and the graves will open. And he's bringing forth all his children out of the grave, glorified, shining, bright, powerful. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. What's a spiritual body? I don't know, but it's more than a spirit. It's a spiritual body. It's glorious. It's like unto Jesus Christ. So we're going to be with Jesus Christ. After death, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. That's what we use so much at funerals. We read that section of Scripture right there at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4. Let me read it again, but let me emphasize what I'm after here. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Catch that. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be what? With the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. This is not talking about the rapture, secret rapture. This is talking about the resurrection when all of God's children come forth. We will ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These words do comfort me. That's what God's chosen you for, to be ever with the Lord. What did the Lord say to the thief on the cross? Verily, I say unto thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, what about like the Lord? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What does that mean, to be like him? I think it means to be like him in spirit. It means righteous, because he's given us his righteousness. Holy, because he set us apart from our sins. It means joyful, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It means that you will be like him, one who has suffered but has triumphed. You'll be like him that way. But it also, after the resurrection, means you'll be like him in body. His body rose from the dead. Your body, child of God, will rise from the dead. And yet that body of his that rose from the dead was rather remarkable. You remember the disciples were meeting one day, and he entered, and all of a sudden he was with them, the doors being shut. It means he walked through the wall. How does that happen? I don't know. Was he just a spirit? No, he was a body. After he walked through the wall and was with them, he says, children, have you any meat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he ate. And he says, you see that it is I that speaketh unto you, and not a spirit. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, such as I have. You see, you'll be like him. You can go along with the force of gravity if you want to. He walked with his disciples up the Mount of Olives 40 days after his resurrection. But the gravity no longer has a compulsory hold on you. Because what did he do after he got to the top of the Mount of Olives and he was there talking with them? He rose unto heaven out of their sight. How do you like that? How do you think you'll like that? Being able to go along with gravity, if that's what you need to do, but just not go along with it, if that's what you need to do. I think it's a wonderful thought. We will be like him. Like him. David said, but as for me, this is Psalm 17, the last couple verses, but as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now we'll be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. What will we be doing? And it won't be like worship so often is here. Sometimes I go to an afternoon service, And the preaching may be just wonderful, but my body, I feel like what the Lord said about His apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So there may be something very wonderful out there, but I'm nodding. And my back is hurting. And I need to go to the bathroom. And something's itching. And I'm yawning. And it's not going to be that way. Worship in heaven is going to be better than anything you've done here. Better than anything you've done here. And in Revelation chapter 7, it tells us about, well, that's what the elders sing in chapter 5. In Revelation 7, 9, John says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." It's a big crowd up there. "Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." There is what we'll be doing. We will be worshiping. And Revelation chapter 5 talks about those that are gathered there again. And it says in verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You can reign on the earth, but one day you're going to reign in God's presence. It'll be by the grace of God. The overcoming will be by the blood of the Lamb. The overcoming will be by His mighty purpose fulfilled in all His people. So what happens to you after you die? You're with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, dear God, we know not what comes upon us. But we look around us and we see the signs of man and his tendency to oppress all around us. And dear God, sometimes it makes us discouraged. Father, help us to trust in Thee. Help us to know the joy which is our strength. Lord, Thy joy. We pray, Lord, that You would give us the joy of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to repent. When we have a guilt that we don't know what it is, help us just to trust in Thee and the faithfulness of Thy salvation. When we have a guilt and we know exactly what it is and we need to repent, help us, Lord, to repent. Help us to know that turning from our sin, confessing what's wrong, and to turn from it. For You've given us the promise. If we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us, dear God, to have close fellowship with Thee and with one another. Help us to show Your love. Bless this nation, O God, and her leaders. Help us that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. But help Thy children in this nation, Lord, to humble themselves and pray and seek Thy face and turn from their wicked ways. Lord, we thank You for Your promise that You will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal this land. Dear God, we thank You for this people that are gathered here today, and those that are listening online. Bless them, Lord. Help us in the gospel to be encouraged, and help us to encourage one another. Dear Father, we thank You for clothes to wear, food to eat, shelter to live in, Lord. But most of all, we thank You for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful disciples of His, to love You with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.